Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind the blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the Black Diamond Group mothership in a nutrient-filled green field.
Pure Michigan.
In the middle of the mitten. Pure Michigan, baby. And that's Craig Russell. Craig, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me back, man. I appreciate it.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, now broadcasting 8 to 9 a.m. on three sister stations, 98.5.
UPS. Also, Rock 95.5 and 105 out of Traverse City and Sheboygan.
Absolutely. Speaking of sister stations.
Okay.
When you come into Mount Pleasant from the north.
Right.
First exit by the Secretary of State.
Yep.
You always see a sign that says Sister City in Japan.
Sure.
Yep. I never met her. And what does that sister city do for the city of Mount Pleasant?
You would be amazed. They probably do some exchanging of cultures. They probably learn about each other, you know, and stuff.
If we go to that city, are they going to roll out the red carpet?
I would imagine sometimes dignitaries go to that city, and they probably come here, too.
So, Craig, I think the Todd L. Levitt Law Show should broadcast sometime this summer from our sister, Mount Pleasant sister city in Japan. My buddy Jimmy Sage is from Japan.
Okay.
Maybe they'll know we're coming and roll out the red carpet for their fellow sisters.
Their fellow sisters?
We're sister cities.
I don't think that's going to happen, man.
Don't
take that the wrong way, but I don't think that's going to happen.
By the way, we have a huge show planned for the listeners. No, I mean, look at all this information.
I know. There's tons.
And we open the show strong with the who behind Blue Eyes.
That's right. Great song.
One of my all-time favorites. Song. And in studio, we have a special guest.
Yeah, we do.
She listens to the show every Sunday morning. My sister, Lori.
She has to love you.
We got
to
welcome. She's my older sister.
Okay.
Let's welcome her to the show.
All right.
Lori, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Todd. I'm glad to be here with you guys.
All right. Now I have to ask Lori a question. So, Lori, is your last name Levitt?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What's your middle name?
Michelle.
Oh, so you're not LLL. I was hoping you're going to be like, you know, I don't know, maybe your mom or dad had some kind of weird thing with the letter L for Levitt. I thought it was going to be like, you know, Lori Louise Levitt. That would have been funny.
It's LML.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
So who would you like? Lori, welcome to the show. It's good to have you. We talk about you. And I know Larry and all his friends listen to the show. You want to give Larry a big shout out there somewhere way up north?
Hi, Larry.
Well, this isn't like Love Line or something like that. You know, you're not doing a long distance dedication to him or something.
Oh boy.
You know? And now next up on the Todd L. Levitt Request and Dedication Show. Lori says, Todd, what's his name? Larry? Lori says, Larry, now here's Limp Bizkit.
That's right.
Sorry.
No one knows what
Stop.
It's like.
No, you have been told to not sing
Hold
anymore.
On. I was told specifically by my good friends in Harrison at the Clear County Courthouse to sing a song.
No, you weren't.
I was.
You were told not to sing ever
Well,
again.
When somebody tells me not to do something, I'm a guy that says do it.
Now, look, you're a lawyer, man. If the law tells you not to do something, don't do it.
Look.
You don't make it hard on yourself.
We opened the show with The Who.
Yes, we did. Great
I
song.
Love Limp Bizkit version of that song also.
Maybe I'll find that for later on in the show.
But how does that song start, Craig Russell?
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man
behind blue eyes.
Okay, that is just ridiculous. That isn't even funny. And we're a law show. What is what is you and I having to sing have to do with the law?
You tell me. It's your show.
I don't know. My sister's here. I feel like singing. Lori.
You're the law. Do you know how to sing, Lori? Can you sing? Can you sing?
No, but
come on, Lori, sing something.
Wait, when we were kids, when we were kids, we used to have obviously different rooms in this house, and you know, I think I was 4 years old.
All right,
and so we would talk at night like a lot of brothers and sisters do, and she'd say, "Hey, Todd," and it, like I'm, you know,
what?
Hey, do you want to play bank? You want to play bank? Because we had our mother worked at a bank.
Okay,
it's
sure.
Like, and looking back on that, I'm 4 years old. Like, and Lori's older than me, obviously. I mean, she doesn't look older, but she's older. My older sister. What the hell do I know at 4 years old about how a bank operates? I barely had a piggy bank at that time. Lori, what was that all about?
I have no idea. I was just starting you early.
Oh, my God. All right.
And look at you now.
Well, Lori can stick around. Well, actually, she has to take off. Okay. Well, Lori, thanks for stopping by the show. My big sister, everybody.
Hey! Lori. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Good having you in the studio, Lori. And we'll talk to you later. Hugs and kisses.
Bye-bye, Lori.
Lori Levitt, everybody. You forgot your purse. Hey, you want to play bank? What does a four-year-old know about playing bank?
I don't know. What do you know about playing bank now? Do you know anything about playing
Not
bank
Not really.
Now?
Okay. I don't know. I never was good at trigonometry or algebra or any of that stuff.
Dude, I'm going to let you into a little bit of my life. The radio thing has worked out pretty well. Know lots about history, stuff like that. English, pretty good. Math, not my strong point.
And that's why I have a problem. I'm not going to get into this throughout the show. I've complained about this enough in the past.
I'm sure you won't.
But I wish when we were younger, we were separated. And those of us that were not good at math were not thrown in with those who were good at math.
Yeah, I agree.
And here's another thing.
Okay.
I've got a complaint.
All right.
About education across the board.
Okay.
There is way too much emphasis on getting A's and B's and trying to get into, let's say, the University of Michigan. Michigan State University, I'm told, to get into the nursing program, you have to have a 3.9 GPA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure.
But here's what's so ridiculous about that. I was a C student.
Same here.
Okay? And most of us are. And I feel that there's people who work really hard to get good grades, and there's some of us who are just born that way. They just have an aptitude for things, a testing aptitude.
Right.
And so I feel that universities, you know, separate us by, it's almost discriminatory because of our aptitude and our inability to be good test takers. Because getting good grades is I feel, as being a student and having gone to law school, is based on being a good test taker. I just disagree with the whole system. So if you don't have good grades or good LSAT scores or good MCAT scores, you can't get into the medical school you want, the law school, the program, the PA school. It's a crock. It should not be based on. There's so many good people out there, Craig.
Agreed.
Who are great at everything they do, and they were not great students like myself.
Agreed. I would totally agree with you.
The whole system is skewed.
Unfortunately, there's more emphasis on getting better test scores than there is on actually learning the material. They figure if you learn the material, you'll be able to do the test well. Well, some people don't take tests well, but learn the material. And that's why I think sometimes it's better to go away from college for a while and come back. Like if I went back to school now, I'm 47. If I decided to go back
good,
to school,
by the way,
don't look a day over 45.
Yeah.
If I went back to school now, I probably would be way better at school because I retain a lot more things now, and I would be more serious about it. At 18, man, the last thing I want to do is sit in a class and take a test. It just didn't work.
But my point is, you know who runs the corporate America? You know who runs this country? Us C students, the B and C students.
Yes.
It's not the A students.
No.
Okay, so the A students get to go to Harvard. Hear me out for this. The A students get to go to all the Ivy League schools.
Sure.
I love University of Michigan. I'm a chip. You're a chip.
Mm-hmm.
I bleed maroon. I mean, I love Central Michigan. You know, I'm so proud of Central. Central graduates some of the best men and women across the country. The medical school just graduated their first class. Congratulations to CMU. I mean, I just love this university and the town. But what I'm saying is, all these people who have better score aptitudes or maybe went to a school district where there was better, you know, finances and more tax revenue, so they had better opportunity. The whole system is skewed. And the C students and the B students, like you and I, is that fair to say?
Oh, easily.
We're the ones that run everything. I would rather hire a B and C student, somebody who had what we have. And I'm not saying A students don't have that.
Who had to work for it.
I'm not saying A students don't have that because a lot of our friends and family are those A students. In fact, we have, but it's skewed.
I knew people in high school who
skated through school. They didn't have to try at all and got A's homework, all the way.
Nothing.
Never had to worry about a thing. I struggled to get a C average. Struggled.
You and I both.
Failed algebra in high school and twice at Central. I failed intermediate level algebra, 055 algebra, twice at Central. Not only did I fail algebra in college, I paid for the privilege to fail algebra in college.
Okay,
terrible at it. But there are some people who skate through all of that stuff and don't even have to try. I'd rather hire somebody who had to try a lot harder to get where they were than somebody who skated through.
Amen. I had to use in college an abacus. I had to count. I said, Mom, pull that little thing out of the basement that has the balls that you would count across. I'm not kidding you. When I went to Central to get out of Central and graduate, they make it mandatory that you take a math class. Hold on. Hear me out on this one. I went to Mid-Michigan Community College and took a math class, basic math, add, subtraction, division.
Yeah, okay? That's how I graduated high school.
Have you ever used algebra any time in your adult life?
Never.
Trigonometry.
Never.
Exactly. Never. So why should these universities make it the ACT and the SAT, forget about it. That is not a representation of how you're going to do in life as an individual, how hard you work, what your character is like, what type of person you are. A test does not determine it. And the LSAT to get into law school had nothing to do with how to practice law.
And on top of that, think about when you're taking these tests. You're taking them at 17, 18, 19, 20.
What do you know?
You don't know anything about life.
I was thinking about girls.
You take that class. You
girls,
take
girls,
tests.
Girls.
Exactly.
Great song, Motley Crue.
Yes, it was. Very good song.
Girls, girls.
I mean, stop.
Right, go ahead, sorry.
Stop. But you take those tests at 40. You do a lot better because you know a lot more about life. I've always said if I knew at 18 what I know about life now, I'd have had two girlfriends and I'd had three people doing my homework for me and I had money in the bank. If I knew what I knew about life then, if I knew what I know about life now, if I knew that then, I'd have made a killing.
We could complain about this all day, but you brought a great transition. You said the word money, correct?
Yeah, money.
Great Eddie Money interview last week on 98.5 UPS, the station we're broadcasting on from the mothership. That was a great interview. When is Eddie coming to Coleman, Michigan?
That would be next Sunday, a week from today.
Memorial weekend.
Memorial Day weekend, yep. Eddie Money, The Rock Show, The Sinclairs, and Jedi Mind Trip all playing in Coleman at the Veterans Memorial. It's their United by Sacrifice concert, the 7th annual. They've had Fog At in the past.
Steve does such a great job with that. He is amazing.
And Jim does great, too.
Jim
does a great job out there. Jim Johnson. Yep.
Jim, that's what I was thinking of. Jim Johnson.
Does a great job.
Great guy.
We're all going to be out there all day long. It's going to be a great, great show. And Eddie Money is a fun guy. Remembered me. I interviewed him 5 years ago when I worked in Grand Rapids. Remembered me from the station that I worked at in Grand Rapids.
Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle is a hard man to forget. We have to go to break.
Yep.
But when we come back from break right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, podcasting on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Podbean, we're going to be talking about, you have some information there. And what's that?
The law.
The law.
We're going to talk about the law on a law show.
I also want to talk, I have a lot of other things to talk about, but I attended, as I have been on a regular basis, a number of township meetings.
Okay.
And I would like to talk about that.
All right.
I'm not going to mention the township or anybody's name or anyone that was there, but I have a very interesting story that the listeners will want to hear when we come back from break right here on Todd's Rock Block, the Todd 11 Law Show. We'll be right back.
Black hole sun, won't you come? Wash away.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting in a green field full of nutrients right here in the mothership, Black Diamond Group, with my good friend Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle, with Rock 105 and 95.5 also chiming in, hundreds of thousands of watts strong, broadcasting on the WUPS app. Great app, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You can go to the app store.
Yep, you can hear it anywhere.
By the way, sad story.
I know, yeah. We were just talking about this, and that was the music we came back with, Soundgarden. Chris Cornell passed away this past week.
52 years old.
Now, they say speculation was a suicide. Not sure. Who knows what's going through those people's heads, but man, just a waste.
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
Alice in Chains. Yep. Now Chris Cornell. All the grunge era guys. Also, he was part of
Audioslave.
Audioslave, but he did that song with Eddie Vedder. The Dog. What was it called?
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, boy, I'll look it up.
Okay.
I love that song.
Yeah. He was a great talent. Had a very unique voice. Great voice.
I love Chris Cornell. I love just rock.
I know you do.
Rock.
I know you do.
I want to rock.
That'd be Dee Snider and Twisted Sister.
Absolutely. Yes, I look. I feel bad about something.
What? What do you feel bad about?
No, I truly feel bad about
what
this.
What do you feel bad about?
I honked the horn at a car last week.
Okay.
And the car, this was actually in Brighton.
Okay.
I'm downstate in Brighton, Michigan, B-Town.
Okay.
And I was leaving one of the mall areas.
It wasn't even a mall. It wasn't a Mustang going 20 miles under the speed limit?
Don't get me started with the Mustang.
Not getting you started.
I honked the horn because this car, it was clear to turn left.
Okay.
And it was just sitting there.
I hate that.
And I honked my horn. And then when the car finally turned, it turned out to be a student driver.
Yeah.
I know, but it was a young lady. It may have been her first. She may have been taking a test. Yeah. So I felt really bad about that. But then after about an hour, I thought to myself, I probably taught her what real life is about.
Yeah.
That if you're going to sit there when it's clear, it wasn't a street light. We were leaving a parking lot to go to a street light. It was clear.
Yeah.
She just hesitated 20 seconds. And I laid on a horn respectfully. How do you respectfully lay on a horn? And then she turned and I felt so bad. But later on, I felt, okay, I just taught her something in life, but she has to get used to that.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when you're doing student driving, yeah, you drive on a range, but you also go out on the road for real life stuff. That was a real world situation. You did a good job. You
still feel bad about that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying.
You're a sensitive guy, Todd Levitt.
I'm a very sensitive guy. It was great having my sister in the studio, by the way.
Yeah, it was very nice to meet her.
Yep, absolutely. She thought the same of you. Okay.
We're going to actually talk about law now?
We are.
Okay, good.
So, as an attorney,
yep,
I advocate.
Yes, you do.
I litigate.
Yes, you do.
I also consult.
Right.
And I speak at township meetings to convince board members, planning commissions, council members to opt in to the Michigan Medical Facilities Licensing Act.
And convince or persuade?
However you want to define it.
Okay.
So this past week, I was in a township, a village, village within a township. I'm not going to mention the township. And I just want to say this. If you really want to see how government should run and is run, go to your local township meeting. These men and women are dedicated to making your lives better within the community in which you reside. It's such a great education and learning experience to see how much these people care, and they really do care.
And they have to care because, as we've talked about earlier in the show, about money, they're not getting paid. Especially a small village, those people are just doing it because they feel it's their civic duty and they want their community to be a better place to be. They're not getting paid, so they're doing it for personal reasons, not for the almighty dollar.
I'm at a village.
Okay.
And at the same village meeting was the county prosecutor and the chief of police.
Okay.
And so here I am as an attorney. This is the first time since I've been advocating for opting into the Facilities Licensing Act to allow for licensing in December of this year, that I was present and there were three or four different opinions and sides of this issue.
Okay.
And I want to say that, and I'm an advocate, but I learned something from the prosecutor in regards to cannabis that I didn't, there was things I learned from him and I appreciate him taking the time to be there. The chief of police, amazing man, and also learned something from him. And I hope they learned something from my position because we have to work together.
Sure.
Because rec is coming in 2018. It's already been introduced into the state by Jeff Irwin's coalition. So they're going to take the Facilities Licensing Act and regulations, and then somehow in 2018, if it goes rec, which I believe it will, then combine the two, and Jeff would like to treat the liquor license.
Oh, okay.
That I don't know. Look, I can't explain it. We're going to have Jeff back on the show.
Yeah, you should.
He said he'd come back on.
Okay.
In a couple of weeks, let's get Jeff on the show.
All right.
But back to the township meeting the village meeting. You know, the prosecutor was there. He was advocating his position, and he's a great prosecutor. He's a friend. I'm not going to say his name, but I have a lot of respect for him. The chief of police was there, you know, and I have a lot of respect for him as well. And it was such a great meeting. Look, they listened to what I had to say, the people. They listened to the chief. They listened to the prosecutor. And at the end, the prosecutor, the chief, and I just made small talk. And, you know, because we all know each other.
Sure.
I just met the chief, but I know the prosecutor. And it was just business. It was such a great exercise in democracy at the smallest level, but yet the biggest level, because that's where it begins in the local communities. Now, is this village or township opting in?
You have no idea.
I was there to educate. I get called by township supervisors to educate. And that's what I was there to do, was educate. So I just want to say thank you to all the townships and villages and mayors and council members who have invited myself and Rob Pizziali, my partner, to speak.
I'm going to say something, and I don't want to go off on a big tangent about it, but there's a lot of people in this country that would have you believe that we are inches away from self-destruction. We are minutes away from the whole place just going up in smoke.
Not happening.
Not even close.
And not even close.
And that's why. Because no matter what happens on a state level, a federal level, an international level, when it's things like local communities coming together, having civilized discussions about topics that affect that community and able to govern themselves, there's that little township, that little village, which then turns into a city, which then turns into a county, which turns into a state. That kind of stuff, the only way it ever would ever destroy itself from a federal level or a state level is it would have to destroy itself from the grassroots level and a small town level. And that isn't going to happen. When places like that is very... That warms the cockles of my heart to know that there are still places in this country where civilized conversation can go on. People can express their opinions. People can make a decision. You want them to advocate. You want them to opt in. And if they don't, you can be upset about it. But you did the best you could. They did the best you could. They could. And those people made a decision. That's the way it works.
Absolutely. And again, folks, even if you live in a big city, go to a small community. If you live in Metro Detroit, head north, head west towards Howell, Livingston County. I used to live in Highland.
Okay.
Go to a small community and find out when their meetings are, planning, township meetings, and just sit in and listen. And it's amazing. These men and women do an amazing job, and I have so much respect for these men and women. And as far as the meeting, some of the pros and cons, there's a lot of prosecutors out there, and they're only doing their job. And people say, oh, the prosecutor, she is saying this, he is saying that. Why don't they take our position? Because they're prosecutors. That's what they do.
Right.
They follow the law. Now, here's another thing. I had somebody call me and say, Todd, I would like you to assist in helping us get a dispensary license when the law changes.
Okay.
And by the way, Todd, there are some communities right now, such as Lansing, Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, Traverse City, where dispensaries are allowed, Grayling, to stay open. And is it possible that you can assist us? Well, first of all, I'm not representing anyone, as I've said in the past, on obtaining licenses. I send everyone to Matt Abel, Mike Camorn, you know, Bart Morris downstate. But here's what I told them. I said, look, when the time comes and you, if you want to apply to open up a dispensary, you do it when the law changes. Right now, those dispensaries are not legally operating. They are operating with the permission of the local communities, not the state level.
Right.
The state law doesn't allow that yet, or you could argue that both ways based on your interpretation of the Medical Marijuana Act. But I tell people, dispensaries are not yet legal. You cannot open one right now, and you do so at the peril of the law enforcement.
Right.
So again, does that mean I want all these dispensaries to shut down? Absolutely not. They're providing medicine. They're providing a great outreach to the local communities. I want more to open when the law changes. I want to see them in every community across the Mitten State. But right now, I would never advise anyone to do something that I feel the law does not allow yet. That's just my opinion. I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't tell someone to go break the law if I feel that the time is coming.
Much like the soldier who can't disobey an order, much like the local community, like these leaders get together, if someone votes, they might not agree with the outcome of the vote, but they've got to follow the vote. That's the public has spoken. And it's the same thing. You're following the law, which is the way to go.
But I'm happy. On the other hand, I'm happy they're open. I have a lot of friends that utilize them who have a legal right to do so. And by the way, here's another thing. When the laws do change, I'm sorry to say this, but I feel that it's unfortunate that the caregivers are going to be phased out eventually because they have provided such a lot of these caregivers, they don't smoke. They just provide care.
Right.
And unfortunately, they're going to be phased out because it's going to be rec. If you're 21 and older, you're going to be allowed to walk in to a provisioning center and purchase cannabis.
And there also used to be a lot of people who sold VHS tapes. And those people don't exist anymore either. So
absolutely,
you know, you'll have that.
Hey, in studio, we have another special guest, regular.
My goodness.
He's a regular. Little John's in studio.
Hey.
Little John's going to be joining us for the rest of the show. Little John, welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. You're a regular. It's great to have you back in studio. You sat in on this conversation.
Oh, yeah. My brother from another mother, how you doing?
It's great to have you back in the mothership. How do you like this green field?
Oh, it's awesome. We got a good time going. Green fields everywhere. If you know how to grow it, you'll grow it. It will turn green.
Absolutely. We have to go to break right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We are a law show broadcasting hundreds and hundreds of thousands of watts strong, Craig Russell, on three Black Diamond Group stations, Rock 105, 95.5.
And 98.5 UPS.
Our mother station.
That's right.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man. Behind blue eyes, and no one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. I am attorney Todd L. Levitt, and yes, we do talk about law, not just cannabis. Craig, you have some information there. Would you like to, what do you got there?
Well, you know, a few weeks ago we were talking about it was the sextortion case, wasn't it?
It was.
It had to do with the YouTube star who was being blackmailed. They were going to go into her phone and they were going to take out videos, show videos of her in compromising positions. The prosecutor sued to be able to get into her phone.
Well, the prosecutor filed a motion asking the judge to order the party to release their password.
Right.
So that the prosecutor and law enforcement can then look through the phone of the perpetrators to gain information and insight to build a case. But the problem, and the judge actually granted it, I argued that under the Constitution, you have a right against self-incrimination, and it should not be allowed.
Correct.
That's how I feel personally. It absolutely should not be allowed. And the state of Michigan is now taking action to protect our privacy rights. And what are they doing?
State lawmakers are looking at a measure that would prohibit police and other law enforcement officers from unlawfully searching through and confiscating electronic data and communications. The State House unanimously passed a joint resolution that would amend the state constitution. That's a big part of it. They would amend the constitution to add electronic data to the list of private property items needing warrants before being able to be searched or collected. That's a big deal of that. That means a cell phone. They wouldn't be able to illegally confiscate your cell phone or make you give up a passcode so you could get into it without a search warrant.
There have been a lot of cases, and I'm a defense attorney. I cannot say this enough. I support law enforcement.
Sure.
Wholeheartedly. You will never hear me knocking law enforcement on the show. We go to work. We argue our positions, just like the prosecutor story in the last segment. But I respect law enforcement and want them to, you know, go to work and return home safe.
Sure.
But I do know of cases where in college towns, not any specific town, where the officers will take someone's phone because they feel that someone took a picture of a crime. So they'll say, hey, I saw you take that picture. Let me see that phone and go through the phone. I don't know any cases here in Mount Pleasant or mid-Michigan, but I have heard stories in other places. Now what you're saying is this legislation that is being introduced will prevent that from happening without a search warrant.
Right.
Now, there are exceptions to a search warrant. There are rules. There's something called search incident to a lawful arrest. So, you know, a lot of times people get pulled over and they're placed under arrest and the officer searches their car and they say, hey, Todd, one, I wasn't read my Miranda rights. And two, they didn't have a warrant to search my car. Well, an officer can lawfully search your vehicle if you're placed under arrest. And that was a United States Supreme Court decision, United States v. Robinson. The court stated that it is the fact of the lawful arrest which establishes the authority to search. So if there's a lawful arrest, then there is authority without a search warrant to begin the search. And so that's what the Supreme Court ruled in United States v. Robinson. incident to a lawful arrest. They don't need a warrant to search your car if you're plate. But the question is this. If an officer pulls you out of the car and says, you know, stand over there, you're not free to leave. Are you in, and this is where Miranda comes in. We're not going to get into Miranda right now.
Right.
Are you in custody? You're not free to leave. If you leave, you're going to be charged with a felony for fleeing and eluding, a four-year felony. So now does the officer have a right to search your vehicle? I would argue no.
I would agree with that.
Until you hear those words.
You are under arrest.
Exactly.
If you're not under arrest, you're standing over here. Yes, you don't want to flee because then you would be put under arrest and that would defeat the whole purpose. But if you're not under arrest, they shouldn't have the right to search your car at that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, they do a lot, but are they right? Are they wrong? This is going to help clarify things. But is it going to protect the people? I do a lot of driving. And I'll tell you what, you'd be amazed how many idiots are actually texting and almost running you off the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saved myself from a lot of accidents, but does a police officer have the right to check if they were texting at that time?
That's a really good
question.
Here's
the standard. So under the Supreme Court case, the court ruled that first, as we're talking, the arrest must be valid under law. So when is someone under arrest? It's open for interpretation.
Sure.
And the judge, you know, as an attorney, you file a motion, you know, to suppress any evidence that was found. It's called fruit of the poisonous tree.
Right.
But for the search to be valid, you must have a valid arrest. And for the search without a warrant to be valid, there has to be a valid arrest. The officer must be able to specifically articulate probable cause that the person committed a crime, and there must have been an intention on the part of the officer to arrest prior to the search of the person. So that's the standard. I'll say it again, and this is what the Supreme Court held. For the search warrant to be valid, the officer must be able to specifically articulate probable cause that a person or the person committed a crime, and there must have been an intention on the part of the officer to arrest prior to the search of the person. How do you determine the intent of the officer, though? He could say, my intent was at this point as opposed to this point. I haven't seen too many officers, in all fairness. I haven't had to file a motion under this exception to a search warrant ever in 23 years.
Now, so let's make it an easy version of this. Let's say officer pulls you over, smells beer in the car. You appear to be possibly under the influence. Takes you out of the car, smells it on your breath, blows a, whatever, a 1.9.
Wait, can you back up a second?
I can back up.
Officer pulls you over, smells alcohol in the vehicle.
Okay.
Pulls you out of the vehicle.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yep.
And starts to, wants to perform sobriety test.
Correct.
Here's my question before the test take place. How do you know, officer, that I wasn't the designated driver and just picked up a carload of drunk people, and that's why my vehicle smells like alcohol? How do you know, officer, that I'm 21 and over and I have a legal right to drink as long as it's under a 0.08, which I would not recommend anybody drink and drive, even if you feel you're under 0.08. Here's the thing. So these are questions as an attorney that I would ask of the officer in court.
Now, but I would say if you are legally, you haven't had a drink, if you're the designated driver and you know you're going to blow a 0.0, do it, because that's the biggest proof you're going to have.
But here's the thing. Okay. Let's play officer now.
Okay.
I pull you over.
Yep.
You show signs of intoxication. And remember, let's play officer here. The officers, sure, these are very highly trained, yes, men and women.
They're going to know.
They take sorts of classes, yep, and courses.
Yep.
So they are expert. They're experts.
Yes.
Because of their
training. This is what they do. This is their job.
So if an officer pulls you over, you may look intoxicated, but as we talk every week, it may be because you took too many prescription pills.
That's still not ideal, though, but what I'm saying is that
does give an officer, sure, probable cause to ask you to step out of the vehicle to perform sobriety tests. But now, let's say you were on the side of the road fixing a flat tire.
Okay.
So the officer did not see that you were driving erratic.
Right.
So there was no probable cause for the officer to be there other than to do a safety check.
Sure.
And to put on his or her lights so that nobody will hit you.
Okay.
You're changing your tire.
Right.
And the officer smells alcohol in your breath. Okay. Follow me?
Yep.
And now starts an investigation. Do you think that's lawful?
I would say...
Remember why he or she was there in the first place?
Probably not. Although it would be hard to argue, but probably not.
The officer, Little John, what do you think? Does the officer have a right to be there and continue an investigation and possibly place this person under arrest if it's determined that they broke the law?
I don't want to get into that because there's too many times I get calls to drive somebody home because they're inebriated. Going back to what you said, Todd, about the fact of, it does officer have the right to check them? and pulling them over, finding that they're already pulled over trying to fix the tire. Well, you know, I can remember back in my day, an officer didn't see me driving. I totaled a car out. The telephone pole landed right in the middle of the car. The officer gave me a ride to the wedding reception, couldn't give me a ticket because he didn't see me driving. But our laws have changed.
Here's the answer.
Okay.
Officer, if you're just tuning in, I'm Attorney Todd Levitt. We're talking with Craig Russell, Morning Hustle, Little John, and we're talking about an officer who comes upon an individual who is changing a tire, let's say on 127, 131, somewhere in the state of Michigan or anywhere in the country. The officer approaches the individual, turns on his or her lights for safety check, keep everybody from coming close to that person, which is very dangerous, smells alcohol. The officer absolutely has every right to continue investigation, because if an officer comes upon a situation, they are obligated, that's what they do as officers, to continue to investigate if this person was operating that motor vehicle while intoxicated from alcohol or some other controlled substances. So that's the law. But here's the, you want to hear the case?
Sure.
So that's, yes, the officer can continue to investigate and place that person under arrest if all the elements are present. The person was found to be operating a motor vehicle on a roadway open to the public or a parking lot that enters into the public roadway, and that person did have a blood alcohol of 0.08 or higher. Here's a real case that this happened on. The officer did investigate the person changing the tire, but that turned out not to be the driver of the vehicle. The driver of the vehicle, who was told the intoxicated person to stay put, don't get out, and he was found walking a quarter of a mile up the highway sober to go to a gas station to get help. So, there you go. Oh. So in that case, you got to know the whole story.
Sure.
But the officer did have a right to investigate that individual, because the officer at first did not know that that person had a driver who was up the road until the other officer who was coming in the other direction, a state trooper, who troopers do a great job, by the way, saw that person walking, and that's how the case turned out. Nothing ever came of it. But that's interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting.
That's about it in a nutshell, because you got to know the whole story. Like Pa Harvey used to say, you got to hear the rest of the story.
Great Paul Harvey reference. Love that.
I love Paul Harvey. And now the rest of the story. Okay, we're talking about exceptions to a search warrant, where an officer has a right to search a vehicle without getting a search warrant. Here's one more before we go to break.
Okay, quick.
Plain view doctrine. If an officer pulls you over, looks into the vehicle, there's paraphernalia in plain view, the officer has a right to place you under arrest and search the entire car and everything in that vehicle, the trunks, everything in that vehicle, plain view doctrine, one of the other exceptions to the search warrant rule.
And when we come back from break, that's where I was originally going with the being pulled over thing when we were talking five minutes ago. Yeah, the plain view part, because that's what I wanted to ask you, how that works out if you're not arrested, but just off to the side. That whole part we were talking about, that. Are you under arrest? If you are told you can't move and you'll be arrested, how that works out. We'll get to that when we come back in a second. We got to take a break. Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We'll be back in a minute after this word from our sponsors.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. And no one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting in a green field, very full of nutrients and water. I mean, this grass looks great, Craig.
It's full of pure Michigan.
It is pure Michigan here. People say, Todd, what are you referring to when you say green field? When I think of Michigan, I think of green everything.
Well, yeah, trees and grass and the rocky
mountains. The mothership is just a green field. You could take it however you want to take it. But this is our green field, and it's my show. That's, and we're broadcasting in a mothership in a green field right here on Todd's Rock. Blah, blah, blah. Or,
you need a towel over there, man?
I'm ready to just rock it out. We came back strong with Limp Bizkit, Behind Blue Eyes. I love that song.
Started off with the Who's version.
The Who's.
Segue to the Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit. That's great. I love the Limp Bizkit. No one knows what it's like.
No, stop.
To be.
Stop. Don't make me tell a Fred Durst story.
Don't even start.
All right, okay, we're talking about exceptions to the search warrant. We were talking about, you know, we talked about plain view doctrine before we went to break. We talked about search incident to a lawful arrest. You had a question.
Well, that was my going to be my question. So let's say you get pulled over. Officer has you get out of the car, doesn't place you under arrest, like you said. Can he legally look into the car, search the car, even if you're not under arrest? See, I would think if you're pulled over and you are then arrested, you could be searched legally because you are now looking, you've got someone under arrest, so you feel some illegal act has happened.
Well, that's a search incident to lawful arrest.
Yes, exactly. But if you're not put under arrest, are they able to then go still look through the car to find things?
Want me to tell you why? Yes. One word.
Okay.
Consent.
Okay.
Everybody, look, you have the right to remain silent.
Sure.
You should and are required to provide identification, your driver's license, because you should always carry a valid driver's license on you. It's required by law, or you can be charged with no ops on person, a 0-point misdemeanor. And you're also required to tell them who you are. But other than that, you have the right to remain silent, and you should use it.
So could you say, I don't want you looking through my car?
Absolutely. But okay, if an officer comes up to Craig Russell's window, you roll down your window, hold on a second.
Okay.
And you, the first thing you say is what you just said. What?
I don't want you looking through my car.
Mr. Russell, why do you say that? I just walked up to your vehicle. You had a plate light out. I didn't even ask you anything yet.
Right.
Why are you saying that to me? Let me ask you something, Mr. Russell. First of all, let me see your identification, proof of insurance registration, and your identification. Thank you. Yep, I see that right there. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why did you say that to me?
Because I have something to hide in the car. I mean, that's
You don't even have to say anything beyond that. See, I just told you a minute ago you have a right to remain silent. And here on the radio, you're not even taking my advice. You're talking. You're yapping. You're chirping. Here's the thing.
No, I was going to say, my question was, if I was outside of the car, if they pulled me out of the car and said, don't move, you're not under arrest, but don't move, we're going to look through your car, could I say, I don't want you looking through my car?
They normally don't say that, but it's hypothetical.
I've never been pulled over, so I couldn't tell you.
Officers, just again, are there times where officers violate the Fourth Amendment to search and seizure? Yes. But truly, and I'm sorry if people like what I'm going to say or not, I'm a defense attorney, I haven't seen it too often.
Right.
I've seen it more so when an officer will enter someone's house or apartment. I've won some motions to have certain things suppressed because the officer broke the plan. It's a whole nother show.
Sure.
Because there's certain protections in your motor vehicle that are consistent with protections in your home and your person under the Fourth Amendment. But the United States Supreme Court in the last decade and more have destroyed your rights as it pertains to a motor vehicle.
Sure.
Terry versus Ohio. Look it up. And there's other cases as well. If an officer pulls you out of the vehicle and is looking at your vehicle and then sees, here's what I'm going to say to you.
Okay.
You're in a state where there's not medical marijuana.
Okay.
And it's not recreational. There's neither.
Indiana.
Officer pulls you over, requests that you step out of the vehicle. And they can do that for safety reasons. Maybe they want to pull you out of harm's way because of the nature of the highway. I sound like a police officer, don't I?
Kinda.
No, I know the laws. Okay, well, and I'm trying to be fair here. We're a law show. I'm trying to educate. Yep.
Good.
Pull you out of your vehicle. Now he sees what appears to be cannabis on your seat with a pipe.
Okay.
All right. And he could smell it. And so what does he do? He just happens to be a canine officer. And the dog, because I have a German Shepherds, is trained to identify that. And the dog does make some indication that that is cannabis.
Right.
Now the officer sees in plain view that there's illegal activity in front of him or her. Now they have two things. One, they can place you under arrest. Okay.
Okay.
So they could search your vehicle because of the arrest. But even more so, and in addition, the plain view doctrine, they see something in plain sight, which gives them the right to search your vehicle under the plain view doctrine.
Okay.
The third way is if you consent. A lot of people, a lot of people figure I'm busted. They're going to find a way to search my car. I'm just going to consent. Do I recommend that? No.
Okay.
Because I'm an attorney. You have a right to remain silent. Why would you let them consent? But the officer will then say, well, I'm going to go call the canine dog. I hear that a lot. And then the person consents. And if I have to call the canine dog, you're going to jail. So now, and so you better tell me right now what you have in a vehicle.
So here's a question, and this probably based on your experience would maybe have an idea of this. Are you better off consenting and letting them find it and just getting on with it, or is it better to fight it?
Here's what I always tell people. I'm going to answer that.
Okay.
If you're not doing anything wrong, then search my car.
Yeah, exactly.
And most people who get pulled over, one, and are doing something wrong, illegal, they're speeding. They have a tail light out. Their windshield is cracked. Their windows are tinted. There's something about that vehicle that is screaming, hey, pull me over.
Exactly.
I'm doing something illegal. It blows my mind. I'll sit in court and hear people, you know, testify and create a factual basis on why they got stopped, and then they found something in a vehicle because the vehicle was faulty. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Back to your question.
Yeah, my question, should you allow them, if you don't have anything to hide, should you consent and allow them to search, or should you say, I don't want you to search my car, which is your right, and then fight it?
Well, look, I'm a constitutionalist, so I'm always going to tell you never to consent to any type of search unless they have a search warrant or some exception to the search warrant rules.
Okay.
So, no. But here's the other reasoning. Okay, I'm just telling you how this works. There have been times where my clients contact me after they've been arrested, bonded out, and they're charged with all these felonies. And because they did cooperate, the officer does indicate that in the report, which makes it easier for me to mitigate their damages when I go talk to the prosecutor.
Sure, that's where I was going.
Right,
is it better to just go, look, I own up to it, I made a mistake, I've screwed up, you know, and face the consequences, as opposed to trying to fight it?
No.
Okay.
I'm an attorney. Absolutely. I'm a constitutional guy. I believe in a constitution. You have a right to remain silent. You have a right against self-incrimination, and you do not have a right to search my vehicle or my person or hopefully any electronic devices without a search warrant or some kind of probable cause that rises to the level where you can do so without a search warrant. That's just what I'm here to say. And if right. I'm not, well, look, I do respect officers, but I'm an attorney. What am I supposed to, I'm not going to say anything otherwise. And that's how I feel.
Sure. Now you told me earlier, if I said to a police officer, sir, I don't want you looking in my car, or I don't want you searching my car, which is my right to do.
Absolutely.
But doesn't that make them suspicious that there's some reason I don't want them to?
Let them be suspicious for 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's still, if they don't have probable cause or some exception to the search warrant rule, you could say that all day and night. But have you ever noticed officers, when they pull someone over or pull you over, if you get pulled over, they will take their flashlight and they have a right to search everywhere in that
around,
car if it's at night.
Because they want to be, they need to protect themselves.
Right.
They don't know if you're going to pull out your license or if you're going to pull out a gun and shoot them, which I totally get. Totally understand that. I just want to make sure that, want to know what would happen if I get pulled over. Because I swear to God, I haven't been pulled over for a traffic ticket probably in 20-some years.
Well, if you get pulled over, one, keep your hands on the steering wheel.
Sure.
Roll your window down, provide information, be polite.
Exactly.
Look, the officer.
Common sense.
Common sense. Keep the officer safe. It keeps you safe also. Yeah. I mean, when you're on the side of a highway, and we clean highways for our Adopt a Highway program,
right.
It's a dangerous place. If I don't recommend anybody do this, but if you spent time on the side of the highway, as we have, just parking and walking up and down legally because we have a parking pass from the Department of Transportation of the state of Michigan to clean a highway,
okay. It's
a dangerous place. And those officers face that day in and day out. It is so dangerous. That's why there's laws in the state of Michigan. If you see an emergency vehicle and a police officer, you are required to get into the left lane unless you're in traffic and you cannot do so. You better damn well slow down and keep the officer safe and the person safe who they're pulled over, who could be one of your loved ones.
Little John, I'm sorry. We've been talking about law for the last 10 minutes on this law show.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm sorry, man.
That's okay, bud. I've been there, done that. And believe me, at one time I wasn't where I am today. I was on the other side. But thank God I'm not no more.
Good.
You know,
good.
So I'm just sitting back, taking it all in. There's a lot I can relate to.
I love it when Todd gets all fired up about the law, because that's what he's passionate about. That's great.
You know, it just brings up so many stories, so many different times I've been pulled over, so many times I've been let go. Or things come
Which
up
is
missing.
Good. That's good.
I'm glad you've been, or things come up missing. Hey, listen, we've had a great show. Little John's going to be back. Little John, will you come back for our Memorial Day weekend show next weekend?
I'd be more than happy to if y'all have me.
You're officially invited right back on the show. Craig, we have a lot more to cover. Let's do part two next weekend.
Okay.
And talk. This law show, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, is going to talk law.
What? That's crazy.
It's
talk,
unbelievable.
It's crazy.
But you know, I have so much information in my brain. I don't get to use it all the time, but it's just stored there.
That's what this show is all about, giving you an outlet for the creativity of the law in your brain.
Craig, I love you, bro. I want all the listeners out there, including you, Little John, to have a happy, healthy morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it is you're doing, Craig. Enthusiasm is contagious. We always say that.
Yep.
Positive actions result in positive reactions. And when that door opens and that opportunity is in front of you, don't have any regrets. You need to walk through it, Craig. Walk through that door.
Head held high, looking straight ahead, smile on your face, song in your heart.
I love it, Craig. I want to thank all our sponsors, Black Diamond Broadcast Group, The Mothership. Take us out, Craig. I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you in part by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Happy Hydro in Gaylord and Petoskey, where the happy people go to grow, and Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.